Well, how true that song is. Certainly, we understand the power of the Lord in our lives. Without Him, we can do nothing. But I find in the Scripture that with Him, I can do everything He wants me to do. And nothing is impossible with the Lord. And I thank God for that. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And we'll begin reading. We'll be reading in chapter number 6. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 16, but we'll be looking primarily at all the different verses. We'll not read them all, but we will be looking at most of the verses tonight. But I wanted to give you the main thrust of this chapter, of what we all remember and know about it. Probably all of us from a child have understood and heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. This is the passage of Scripture here tonight that gives us this account of what happened to Daniel, and I can remember that as a child, those stories being told. I can remember even in one Sunday or in one vacation Bible school that Daniel was the entire week that we had, and so Daniel's a very prominent person in the Scriptures. But when you think of Daniel, probably that's the first thing we think of is the story of him being cast in the den of lions and the Lord delivering him. But when you come to Daniel's life and his story, there's much more to Daniel than that one little passage. What a great man he was. But let's read tonight in verse number 16 in Daniel chapter number 6. It says, "And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, I also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den." Here we have the reading of the account of what took place that day there in the kingdom that was formerly the Babylonian kingdom. We, not too long ago, we were in chapter number 5 where the Babylonian kingdom fell to the Medes and the Persians. And Darius is now king. He is ruler over that kingdom. And so some time has progressed. Time has gone on. And Daniel now has been thrown in the den of lions. But as I said a moment ago, that's the story that we hear as children. That's the story we relate to Daniel. But there's much more to Daniel's life than just that one particular incident. Daniel's a very important character in the Old Testament. There are many men that stand out. There's men and women that stand out in the study of the Scripture. And Daniel is one of those men that has a real glowing testimony and of how the Lord used him and how God blessed him in his entire life. Of course, we know the story of Joseph and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and all the great men of the Old Testament. But Daniel is right up there with them in the importance and the popularity. And his life story is found in the book of Daniel. And it's a book of prophecy for the most part, but it is also a book that gives us the story of the life of this man that is called Daniel. He's mentioned in the New Testament in more than one place. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 33, it talks about those that were not necessarily named by name as heroes of the faith, but there are those that are mentioned, and the scripture says in Hebrews 11, 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and then it says stopped the mouths of lions. And so we know that is a direct reference to Daniel and his ministry and the life that God had given unto him. The Lord even mentions Daniel in the New Testament, talks about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And so the Lord recognizes and gives him time and gives him there in the New Testament that we can relate that God knew exactly who he was and how that he was being used. Tonight we're going to go back a little bit into the life of Daniel and just see some things that took place. And there had to be some good preparation in the life of Daniel. If you go back to the first chapter, and we're not going to go back and read those things, but you'll find that Daniel was carried away captive by the people, the army of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom. And he was probably maybe 14, 15 years old at that time. He and his friends were taken captive and taken out of Jerusalem and was carried away to the kingdom of Babylon. So he's in a different and a strange land. And for Daniel to live the life that he lived the rest of his time, there had to be, in those first 14, 15 years, there had to be some good preparation by his parents, those that had influence on him, because you do not come to an understanding of those things spiritually just simply by yourself, not just growing up. There had to be some training and some preparations in his life. His parents only had him for those 14 or 15 years, and I would say when you look at the life of Daniel, they did a pretty good job, and the Lord blessed them. For in 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem. That's a historical fact. You can look up in any history that you want to, and that's when Babylon invaded Israel and overtook Jerusalem and carried away those captives. Of those, we have the most prominent one being Daniel. The next group that is very prominent is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are men that are given to us in the historical account of the book of Daniel that lived and served God and honored the Lord. But the most important, the character that stands out, these men that were taken prisoners and slaves, is none other than this man of whom this book is named after and who physically wrote the words of this book. 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar invades Jerusalem. 597, he comes to Jerusalem again, and he takes the leaders, and he takes another man, a very young man by the name of Ezekiel, who would later become a prophet that would write concerning some of the things that appears in our Old Testament. And so the story gives us, and the narrative gives us some time things there that will help us to understand. Now, Ezekiel became a preaching prophet, and Daniel became a writing prophet. Daniel was used of God. God spoke to him. He wrote those things down, and we have them in our scriptures. He served in every government that he was in. He served as an official. He had a blessing of the Lord. He prospered in every foreign government that overtook Babylon. When they saw him for the way he was, when they saw that he was determined, he was going to serve his God, Nebuchadnezzar caught eye of him, and of course we know the story that he was blessed. And so he served in a foreign land as a Jew in a Gentile land, and God blessed him abundantly. As I mentioned a while ago, Matthew 24:15 mentions him as he gives us the story that we are to understand the desolation that will take place that is yet in the future that we call the tribulation. So the prophet Ezekiel and Daniel were sort of living in the same time era, and Ezekiel even speaks of Daniel in chapter 14 and chapter 20 and chapter 28. So they are contemporary with each other. And during this time, Daniel followed the instructions of another prophet that we know that is given to us in the Scripture, and his name is Jeremiah. And so all these men are active in the work of the Lord. They're not all the same age, and they may not all be at the completely same time, but they were synonymous and were with each other during the times, or at least in time frame, and he was there with those. Daniel, I guess the most important verse that we have about Daniel is found in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. I've heard many, many verses about Daniel, but this one here, I guess, is the most important determining factor in the life of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel decided, now here's a probably 14-year-old young man, and he has determined in his heart that he is not going to be defiled by the wickedness that was around him. He determined, he purposed that he was going to be different than those others that were around him, and God blessed that purposing of his heart. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I believe that's the key. I believe that's the key verse. I believe that's the key to Daniel's prosperity. I believe that's the key to Daniel's being able to do what he did, because he determined that the world around him was not going to affect him, was not going to bring him down. He was not going to be involved in the same things as everyone else in that kingdom of Babylon had that were involved with. And so he stayed separate. A lot of challenges to that. You could go back and read Daniel chapter 1, and there was challenges to him not doing that. But he purposed in his heart. They finally gave him permission, and when everything was said and done, Daniel was better skinned. His complexion, his countenance, everything about him was better than everybody else around him, and so the Lord blessed him. Now in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3, we didn't read it tonight, but here we find the position that Daniel carries. Now, you have to remember, as we read, we can't always go by the stories we hear and the pictures we see. Daniel is not a little boy, not a young man, when he's thrown into the lion's den. Probably, the best I remember, I did not look it up, but the best I remember, when you come to Daniel chapter 6, he's probably late 70s, maybe early 80s as far as his age. And so he's not a young man. He's an old man now. But he has a position. He has a place in this kingdom. Babylon has fallen. The handwriting was on the wall that we preached on a couple of Wednesday nights ago. And they found themselves being destroyed that very night. Belshazzar died and the kingdom fell and the Medes and the Persians took over. So now in verse number 1 of chapter 6, it pleased Darius. Now Darius is the king of the Medes and the Median kingdom. And verse number 31 of chapter 5 tells us that Darius was 62 years old when he destroyed, or when he defeated, Babylon. So here's a 62-year-old man, and he's got a kingdom. And he's destroyed the greatest of all kingdoms, that golden head that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision. And now the Medes and the Persians have conquered them. And it pleased, verse 1, Darius to set over kingdoms 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was, what does it say there? First. Here's a Jewish man, let's say he's 70 years old. I believe he's a little older than that. And here he is in a Gentile kingdom. And Darius the king, he sets over the kingdom 120 of the princes over those provinces. And over that he sets three. And over the three, one of those three is Daniel. And he's preferred above all others. And so over the three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account to them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So here's the position of Daniel. This old man that has lived through the turmoil of the Babylonian kingdom and the terrible things that took place, and he is the one that saw Nebuchadnezzar go out and be a wild man in the beast, as a beast in the field. He saw so many things take place. And here he is, the kingdom has fallen, and he is number one over all the provinces. And really, the king wanted to put him over everything. And so there's his position. He finds himself in a public place, but he's also found in a place of a much hatred and danger. And Daniel was very honest. He had integrity, and it paved him the way for him to be promoted into a position of power. And Darius, now he's the king now. He's the number one man of the whole world. And he's desiring to set Daniel over his whole kingdom. The reason he did that, the scripture tells us here, that he might not have damage. So he understands, Darius is smart enough, he understands that he can't control it all. And so he divides it up into provinces, and each province has a leader. And then there are those that are over them, and then Daniel is over them, and only one left above Daniel is the king. So I would say here, Daniel, this Jew that was a captive, I would say God had prospered him very well. And I believe it's because Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled. And our decisions that we make have much to do with how we live and the things that we have into our life. And the scripture says here that he was preferred above every one of them. And the scripture says here because he had an excellent spirit. He had that excellent spirit because he had the Spirit of God working in his heart and in his life. And so there is the position that Daniel had. It's a high position. He wasn't just some slave now. He wasn't someone that they wondered about. He was over most of the kingdom, answering only, and the king desiring him to only answer unto him. But when that takes place, when a person of the integrity of Daniel gets placed in a position as such, there are always the enemies. There are always those that are against you. There are always those that are jealous because they didn't get that preferred position. And we find this in verses 4 through 9. In verse 4 says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom." So they're doing their best. They're going to undermine this man called Daniel. And they can put out every fake news they can. They'll put out everything every rumor they can. They'll try to destroy the influence of Daniel. But notice here in verse 4 it says, "But they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Daniel lived a life that was open and above board to everyone. And so here they are trying to bring him down, and they can't find anything wrong with him. They can't find any fault. They can't find any problems. Then said one of the men, verse number 5, "Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together and to the king, and said unto the king, King Darius, live forever. So they have a plot, they have a plan, and they couldn't find anything wrong, no fault, in Daniel's public life. What they saw is what they got. He wasn't two-faced. What they heard from him was the way it was. So they couldn't find anything wrong with his public life. They couldn't find anything wrong with his private life. And so they began to attack his spiritual life. They began to attack that which they could not see and knew nothing about. And so they devise a plan. They come up with a plan that they want to make Darius equal with God for a period of, I believe it's 30 days. Oh, Darius, king, live forever. They play on his emotions. They play on his humanity. And they begin to have the pride issue. So Darius, live forever. And all these presidents and kings and governors and princes and counselors and captains consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, they'll be cast into lion's den. There's the plan. Nothing wrong with Daniel. He's upright. Nothing wrong with his heart, his life. Everything's well. But they knew that Daniel and his God were inseparable. They knew that if they could get to him through the spiritual means, and they knew that Daniel would never bow to another man as a god. They knew that Daniel would never bow toward anywhere except Jerusalem. And so they have the king to make this decree. And in his pride and in his haste, the king did that. Now notice what Daniel did after the decree is signed there in verse number 9. Now note in verse 10, this is what Daniel does. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And I think the key words here, as he did aforetime. Sometimes when we know that there has been a rule made, we want to just make sure that we're going to be against that rule because it's wrong. And if we have to change a little bit just to make a statement, then we'll do that. But Daniel did not change not one thing. You see, those princes, those presidents, those governors, they knew that Daniel prayed three times a day, every day. For he had done it all the time that he'd been there. He had that position. He had that place of prayer. He opened his windows toward Jerusalem. And that is following even a scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. They opened the window toward Jerusalem and they prayed toward Jerusalem. He did it three times a day as he had always done. And so when he hears that the decree has been signed, he just goes and does what he's always done. And that's where they thought they caught him. And I guess they did catch him because Daniel did what he always did. He prayed three times a day. He thanked God. And in verse number 11, it says that they found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. He's probably praying for those princes. He's probably making supplication, praying for those that were despitefully using him. And so we find that Daniel was very purposed in his life. He did not change just because a law changed. Now Darius, he signs the decree. Daniel goes and prays, and we see the result of that. Look in where we read in verse 16 through 23. They bring this to the king, and he follows through. It says in verse number 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And they say, King, didn't you make this decree that nobody could pray to any man or any god except you for 30 days. And the king, probably in his pride, said, well, yes, I did. And I'm just sort of paraphrasing. Verse 13 says, then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. Daniel, he doesn't regard you at all, O king, nor do the decree thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. When the king heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. For you see, Darius loved and appreciated and respected Daniel. He has been put in a position now that he's made a decree, and it's coming back to bother him. When he hears it's Daniel, he is displeased with himself. And then the Bible says he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He was determined he was going to deliver Daniel, and that would not happen to Daniel. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Notice how persistent the wicked men are. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. You ever heard that little phrase? It's just as set in stone as the law of the Medes and Persians. The law of the Medes and Persians, if it was a law, then it was carried out. It could not be changed. And so these princes and presidents and all these guys that hated Daniel so much, they had tricked Darius into the position where they knew that Daniel would pray. They knew that Daniel would disobey the decree. And they knew the decree could not be changed. And so the result of that is found where we read tonight of Daniel in the lion's den. In verse 18 through 20, we'll not read those again, but we see the king is concerned about it. He's concerned about what's taking place. And it says here that he spent the whole night fasting. His sleep left him. He could not sleep. And we see that he was concerned, and he comes the next morning with a lamentable voice, sorrowful voice. And I'm sure in words that were very probably unsure, Daniel, did your God save you? And he waits for an answer. For Daniel had already said, my God shall deliver me. He said, he will take care of me. Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continue able to deliver thee? He had already said he would. Darius made that statement. Now he said, did he do that? And Daniel said, O king, live forever. What a tremendous blessing. What a wonderful miracle that took place that night. That Daniel's persecution came upon him, but he came through it with flying colors. He came through it with no problem. He tells us, my God, in verse 22, here's his confession. My God sent his angel that he and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. God sent his angel. Remember now, 60 years ago, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. As a teenager, as a young man, I'm going to live the way I was taught. I'm going to be a Jew in a Gentile world. And God prospered him. Now, verse number 24, we didn't read this a while ago, but here we see this crowd was punished with their own deceptive ways. And the king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. The lions had a mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces. They were bottom of the den. The lions were on starvation all night. God shut their mouths. They could not eat. And then they threw those wicked men in, and they had mastery. We'd say they had a feast. And they destroyed all those that had tried to destroy. That's the law of retaliation. God took care of those enemies against him. But notice, I want you to notice King Darius in verse number 23. So Daniel, right in the middle of the verse, "So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Verse 25. "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth." Here we have Daniel being prospered again. It says, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree." Here's a new decree. "That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I'd say Daniel had a very prosperous life, because one day he said, "I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to be like everybody else." And not only did he prosper, but now he's preferred above all others, and in the realm of the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. There was one man that believed God, stood for his thoughts and his rights and his righteousness. And I believe he had an influence upon this man called Darius. I believe Darius understood who his God was. And one person can make a difference. It does. We say, what can I do? Just live for the Lord. One person can make a difference in our surroundings. We may never be promoted. We may never prosper like Daniel. But God can use us where he puts us if we'll determine that I'm not going to be affected by the world around me. Just be a Christian. Just be a child of the King. Just be a Daniel. Daniel, at 14 or 15 years old, he said, "I'm going to live for God." Here he is, probably 80 to 85 here. Guess what? He's still living for God, and God's still blessing him. And the story doesn't stop there. It goes on and on and on. Daniel, the prophet of God. Den of lions, yes. That's the story we all know. That's what Daniel is known for. But it goes much deeper, much broader, much greater than just a den of lions. God blessed his entire life because he served his God. Let's stand together tonight.